family picture frames.
Who are the people in yours? I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy. In This Together is a podcast where we discuss topics related to today's family. We also go behind the scenes to share stories from our own crooked picture frame.
And we interview guests to discover how their stories can give us insight on becoming families who live, love, and lead well.
Because you're not alone. We're in this together. This episode of the In This Together podcast is brought to you by Lifeway Women. For more information about all the events Lifeway Women has to offer, visit lifeway.com/womensevents.
Hello and welcome back to the In This Together podcast. We are delighted that you have joined us for this episode. It is delighted. Easter time.
Delighted is such a fun word.
I love delighted.
Delighted. It is a delight. It is Easter.
And it's a delight to be able to be with you.
Me?
It's delightful to be with you.
I know, it's just funny.
But it's also delightful to be with everybody who's listening as well.
Can I just say something? Because I didn't say it in the time and I wish I had. You said something about folks and like...
In one of the previous episodes?
Yeah, I think it was like 2 weeks ago. You said folks. And you sounded like you were like 80.
Hey. I could say...
I just wish I'd said something in the moment. Anyway, sorry. That's neither here nor there.
I could say my brethren.
No.
We're going to talk today about teaching our kids about Easter. First of all, I'm excited about this episode because this is the holiday of the year that I hope that we don't just treat like another holiday, especially as it relates to, you know, just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Hunting for Easter eggs, Easter bunny coming, getting together with family. Those are all wonderful things. Like, don't get me wrong. Those are all amazing, wonderful things. But if we miss the point of the new life and the resurrection of Jesus and the power of the resurrection of Jesus in our lives and in our families' lives, man, we're missing the entire point of the gospel story.
Amen.
It's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if it weren't for the resurrection, everything that I'd be doing would be in vain. It'd just be in vain. There'd be no point.
And at some point I want to talk about this, but this Easter for me is far more meaningful, I think, than any I've ever walked through. And I think it's because we've been walking through some refining and, to be honest, spiritual warfare. And I have learned, the blood of Jesus, the power of Jesus. I am in such awe of the power behind that name and this act, this one act in all of history, and how it literally changed absolutely everything. But let's talk about
our kids. It's why we do what we do.
Yes.
If it weren't for the resurrection, I mean, what else would we be doing in life? I mean, truly, like.
What power would we have?
We'd have
what
no
authority
power.
Would we have? We have no authority in and of ourselves, but through that one act, we were given all authority in heaven and earth.
Through Jesus.
Through Jesus. But that's the point. Like, he was the necessary, like, epitome of sacrifice that somehow, for in absolute grace and mercy, we were given all authority.
We were established in his authority.
Through his name and through his blood. I mean, they shudder. Like, if you think about it, how the enemy literally, I've been studying this and walking through this, and I have watched principalities, demons, literally flee. Like, they cannot, they cover their ears at his name. Like, do you understand how much power that is? That's it. Just his name. Like, I'm like, this will be a new Easter for me.
Well, and I think too, as we think about within the context of our families, we talk about Easter and we talk about believing in Jesus. I think in our culture today, and we could get on a soapbox, but I think in our culture today, in American culture, Western American culture, we have in a lot of ways watered down the power of Jesus. The fact that we're established in his authority, yeah. that, you know, he says at the ascension, this is after the resurrection, after he's revealed himself to the disciples and everybody, in over 500 witnesses, he ascends into heaven. And before he does, he says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And we're established in that authority. And I think one of the things that we, you know, as you're talking, it made me think, even the demons believe.
Oh, and shudder.
They believe and they shudder is what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And so this becomes more about just belief. You know, I think it's easy to go, hey, as long as you believe in Jesus, well, even the demons believe and shudder. So I love the way that Tim Keller describes this. He says, you can be saved by faith, not by fruit. We're talking about he was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. He talks about that. And he says, you're saved by faith, not by fruit, but you cannot be saved by fruitless faith. If you're not growing in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, right? Are you walking in? Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we being transformed into the character of Jesus? And man, I'll tell you, I know for us, you know, this has been really real in our journey as of late over the last number of months as we really try to become the, you know, a few weeks ago we had Jonathan and Winter Pitts on the podcast. And one of the things that he said in that episode that they wrote in their book, and I absolutely loved the way that he described this. But what he specifically said as it related to parenting was he said, our kids, their view of Christ, the degree that we reflect Christ as parents is the degree to which our kids will see Christ. The degree to which we reflect Christ as parents is the degree to which our kids will see Christ. And I think more than anything else, as we grow as parents in faith, our kids are watching us. And I want them to see that fruit. I want them to see me growing in the fruit of the Spirit so that they see the character of Jesus being displayed before them. And that's where, as we talk a lot about parenting, it really comes down to who we are becoming as parents more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. And where you're talking there, I don't know who it is listening, probably all of us, who are struggling to look more like Christ. There are hurts and there are sin and there are habits and there are repetitive, destructive behaviors that we get into that literally inhibit us. It's like we're putting this wall between us and Christ. And here's the hope of what I see the Easter, this is what it's about. His death and resurrection ended it all, right? Like, it is broken. It is actually broken, shattered, and crushed if we use our authority in Christ. And first, come under his lordship, right? In his headship. First, it's obedience, but there's a lot of stuff I think that we're struggling with, that our kids are struggling with, that we've just not brought to the cross. We have literally not brought to the cross of Christ and said, your blood, I claim it over this child. I claim it over this. What is it for you? Shame, rejection, offense, addiction, guilt, depression, anxiety. You fill in your blank. Envy, lust, pride,
fear.
Whatever that is for you, this one act in the whole course of history literally took all that power. Like, all of that can be crushed if we are willing to do the hard work of sanctification, which means getting rid of the things in our life, right, that are preventing us.
Forgiveness and repentance, yep.
And we claim that authority that Christ died for, like that, the power of his blood and his resurrection, it crushes it all. And they flee in his name. Like, how do we understand really how powerful that name is?
It's so powerful. And
are we communicating that to our kids? Because here's my fear. Our kids are growing up, at least our kids are, in a church. They're growing up in a culture that talks about Jesus, at least in this one. I didn't really grow up, personally, I didn't grow up in a climate where Jesus was talked about. But here, where we are, at least our area of the United States, our corner, that is, it's cultural, right? I am never, ever want that name to be watered down to a story, to a tradition, to a religion, to something that it's, I know. But are we as parents, like, are we communicating to our kids the power that Christ has in their life? Not like for just in general, like generalities for all of us, like here's our way to heaven. Yes, super important. But like in their everyday life, when they're struggling with this, when they're fearful of this, when they're feeling sad, when they confront bullies, are we expressing to them the hope and the power? And so we're going to talk today about a few ways to make this whole
abstract.
Yeah. I mean,
it's very abstract. The resurrection.
Totally. Yeah. To make it concrete, make it sink in that this happened once in history and it forever changed the world.
And, you know, our kids don't walk around every day seeing people being raised from the dead. And so it's this is why it's so abstract. And I think we want to make it as concrete as we possibly can for our kids. We want to make it concrete as possible as we can for ourselves. And I think as we've been having this conversation here in the beginning, it really, I think the first way that we make it concrete to our kids is we live it. The first way we make it concrete to our kids is they begin to see the power of the resurrection in our lives, in our individual lives.
Ooh, that's, yes. Because this time last year, I wouldn't have spoken to them. I would have told them about it and explained the story. Not even the story. I would have explained who Jesus was. Mm-hmm. I would have explained the resurrection. I would have explained it. I couldn't have taught them it with the heart that I have today. Right? Like that's where it's that personal.
But you have seen the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ free you.
And others, yeah. Like
and others.
Watched it.
You're watching it happen through your prayer life, through your spiritual journey. And so therefore it's becoming real. It becomes real when we enter it. It becomes real when we establish ourselves under his authority.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's so fun to me because this is where the joy of the Lord comes into play. I mean, this is where we've been established in his authority. And so when we live this out every day in our lives, sure, it's going to look, it's not going to always look good. It's not going to, you know, we have a crooked picture frame there for a reason, because it does get messy. And the Bible doesn't, the way to resurrection is through death. The way to resurrection is through suffering.
I was going to say first suffering.
Suffering and then death. And so, I mean, if you're listening and going, man, this sounds really, really cool, but I'm going through a really difficult time right now. Embrace that difficult time.
Yes.
You know, Romans 5:3-5 is one of my favorite passages of scripture. It says to rejoice in suffering. With suffering comes perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And man, when you look at scripture and you begin to see the hope of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, you see it through suffering. Yeah, that's how we get formed into his likeness. We live in a culture today that wants to be comfortable. We don't want to embrace suffering. We want to take Tylenol to get rid of the headaches. We want to get a quick fix. We want to, and rather than embracing the suffering, the scriptures say it over and over again, rejoice in suffering, rejoice in suffering, rejoice in suffering, right? Paul writes about it in Corinthians. He says, in your light momentary troubles, though they're achieving for us an eternal glory, they're achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but which is unseen, for what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. God, the enemy loves to come in and go, oh, you have a pain, you have an ache, you have an addiction, you have something that's really, really hurting you right now. Here, I have something that'll take that away.
Right.
But it's seen. It's temporary. And that's where addiction begins to come into play, because what we do is we end up needing more and more of it in our pain to get the same effect and to feel comforted and to feel. Whereas when Paul, go to Philippians 4, when Paul says, do not be anxious for anything, the Lord is near, but by prayer and supplication, make your requests with thanksgiving to him. Why? Because he's good, because we can trust him no matter how he's going to answer our prayers. We can trust that he's looking out. He's working together for the good, all things for the good of those who love him. When we trust him in that, he gives us a peace which surpasses all understanding to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we're no longer slaves of fear. We've been delivered. And so I'm preaching right now, and I apologize for preaching, but I don't apologize for preaching. Sorry. I'm not gonna apologize for preaching. I'm preaching
don't
right now.
Apologize.
Darn it! This is our podcast. We're gonna preach. But it's that concrete, when we live it out, embrace those sufferings, embrace those moments, but know full well that when you step into the authority and the established authority of Jesus Christ, man, he's got the power to help you overcome those things. And I think when we live that out before our kids, and we're able to transparently live that out before our kids, and our kids see the change in our own lives and how we treat them, maybe we're yelling less or not at all, or whatever that looks like, they see changed behavior and they go, wow, what happened? And you go, let me tell you the story. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about the Jesus Christ who died for me and rose again. And then you can get into baptism. That's what baptism's all about too. So,
but I think you've hit on the very key point. I think those that have not suffered do not know of their need for Christ. Those that have suffered, they have felt their need. They have felt their powerlessness. They have felt their hopelessness, their helplessness. And to be honest, those are very real and accurate feelings. We are helpless and hopeless without Christ. I mean, that is the entire point. And I have come to realize that those who have not suffered much in life, I think what you'll see, you see a lack of character for sure. The lack of maturity. There is such a, I think it is a childlike faith, right? Mm. Because it's known. You might know of, but you don't know. You don't know God. There is something for whoever it is listening that is walking through deep suffering right now. When it says to count it all, like count the cost, but to count it all as loss, like there is such beauty to come. You are in the refining place. And on the other side of this is such beauty and breakthrough. And so don't you dare stay stuck there. Don't you dare stay stuck as a victim, because that means that Christ's death meant nothing. Mm. That means that Christ's resurrection didn't free you. It wasn't good enough for you. And it is. And you know that it is. And that's where we cling to the truth of the word, and we use it as like the sword of the spirit, and we use it against every lie that comes into our heads, that comes into our ears, and we claim the truth, and you will start walking out of that pit slowly, surely, toward freedom.
Amen.
So let's talk about teaching it to our kids.
One, make it concrete by living it. One, make it concrete by being transparent before your kids. Number two, here are some fun ways that we can practically show them, especially our young kids, because a lot of this conversation, our younger kids won't necessarily have experienced deep suffering unless, what's fascinating is that you see kids who, pediatric cancer patients, who are like the most mature kids, like to your point, kind of mm-hmm. like, who are like, they're like 7 years of age, but they act like they're, you know, 35, you know, or 40, because they've been through such suffering and pain, and they've understood what life is all about.
And look at those kids.
Yeah. I mean, just
look at how beautiful those kids are.
So for a lot of us, though, you know, we're sitting here and we're talking about kids and God forbid that suffering on our kids at an early age. God forbid it, you know. I pray that out of families. And so for younger kids who we're raising and really helping them understand the concreteness of what this looks like, number one, it begins with us, but number two, some fun ways we can do that. There are resurrection eggs that we'll make available in the show notes for you through Lifeway. And man, these resurrection eggs are an opportunity for us. So we're going to talk about two specific activities that you can do with your kids. One of them would be resurrection eggs. And basically, they're 12 lessons with a concrete symbol for each part of the Easter story that help our kids understand the events leading up to Jesus' death on the cross and then ultimately the resurrection. And it concludes with a white egg that is empty. And so we'll put that in there. And one of the things that I would really encourage you to do is use dinner time, study the events leading up to the cross. Study the Last Supper. We're going through this right now in 22-6 parenting with our 22-6 parenting community. We're walking through this right now. The Last Supper, you know, the when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, the woman who anointed him with all she had, up to Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial and the triumphal entry in the Garden of Gethsemane, all the way to when Jesus reappears after his resurrection. You know, you can use these stories to talk about, you know, take a day, each day through the month of March here and tell your kids the story. Tell each one each night as part of your dinner time, and use the resurrection eggs as an opportunity to be able to do that, because they're a lot of fun and it gives a symbol of each one of those stories for you.
Okay. And you want to know what we're doing this year? This is the new one. You
this
ready?
Is a fun one.
Maybe this is probably not new. It's new to us. So maybe it's new to you. If it is, if it isn't, teach us, because we're going to raise some butterflies.
We're going to raise some butterflies.
So we bought a caterpillar kit online, which you can do, and they ship them to you with the food, and then this little like cage thing.
Yep, cage. Yep.
So you basically use a caterpillar in the process of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. So going through the chrysalis, which looks like a tomb.
Yeah, the way you describe it, yeah, it looks like a tomb to your kids.
So this caterpillar goes into the tomb, and then it comes alive again, right, as a butterfly. And it takes about 3 weeks to turn into a butterfly.
We'll put the link there in the show notes so you guys can go ahead and order
isn't
that.
Isn't that so fun? Plus, I just want to raise a butterfly. I've never done this. And I'm so excited for it.
And because of this entering, because of the air date of this this podcast, we're only about 2 weeks out of Easter. But use it as an opportunity to, I mean, you don't have to end it on Easter Sunday. Like, use this as an opportunity. Go ahead and buy it now and take those 3-4 weeks to see it enter and use it. I mean, make this an ongoing discussion with your kids about the resurrection. It doesn't have to end on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think our butterflies are going to be ready for Easter Sunday, but that's okay. They'll still be just sweet. And they guarantee, well, some of the websites, they guarantee 3 of the 5 butterflies will actually turn into happy butterflies.
Caterpillars.
You get 5, and 3 of the 5 they guarantee.
You can order more if your school, you know.
So then we can you can talk about death, like, and how, like, this is us, right? So we
without
are,
Christ.
Yeah, we actually just die.
Without Christ, and
that one didn't make it. Yeah.
So these are fun activities. The resurrection eggs. We'll put those in the show notes. You can also do a butterfly, and using that as a concrete way to explain the death and the resurrection of Jesus this Easter.
Children, war. These two words should not go together. Imagine your child being orphaned because of war, or being kidnapped and forced to become a child soldier in a rebel army. Who would help them? Exile International provides healing for 1,300 war-affected youth in Africa through art-focused trauma care, education, and discipleship. We empower child survivors of war to become leaders for peace. Join us in our Give Up to Give Back campaign. What can your family give up in order to bring healing to children wounded by war? Visit exileinternational.org/give. I was going to talk about another way.
Go for it.
We didn't really talk about, I mean, obviously we're far past the beginning of Lent, but for this, just the practice of Lent. So, right? So the practice of giving up something, so dying to something or fasting from something in the weeks leading up to Easter, is just a great way to talk to our kids, like, concretely about something in our life that hinders us to being fully alive in our relationship with Christ, right? So for me, this was actually not even intentional or planned, but it actually, I think I started it on the first day of Lent. This, but I promise it wasn't purposed. I was social. You've probably heard me talk about this before. Social media is a thing for me. It is a
weakness. It's not a thing. It's a weakness.
It's a no. It's more
a
than
a crutch.
It's a what's the word?
You need a dictionary.
Addiction might be the
temptation.
I don't know. It is something that removes clarity from my life. That's the best way to say it. And I know in order to be fully alive with Christ, in order for me to be clear, right? There are certain things that I have had to take, and I've taken, you know, strategically out of my life over time. And, but this is one that it was just time. So if you haven't really seen us post, I don't know if you follow us on social media, but I deleted Instagram and it has been the greatest delight.
We still have our Dr. Josh and Christy Instagram that we post our stuff on.
You do it. Yeah.
I do it. I don't get caught. It doesn't have the same effect for me. So I don't get caught up in everybody's stories and all that. So
and that's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
So
it's great that you can do it, because otherwise we would have.
Well, but it's helpful to know what brings us clarity and what doesn't bring us clarity in our walk with Christ, so that one thing that I don't, you know, so that I know how I can support what we're doing without Christy getting caught up in it and that type of thing, and vice versa, you know. So
yeah, like time, emotion, energy. It was weird anyway, but I've realized that that's a thing for me, whatever it is for you, and have that conversation. Now with that, our kids wouldn't understand mom giving up that, although I am on my phone a whole lot less. But sugar was one thing for me at one point, and I can't tell you how many conversations the kids would be like, oh yeah, mom, you can't have that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's right. But that's another, just real practical, like real hands-on, like something that it just helps and it prepares our hearts, right?
And I want to encourage you in this too, because in 22-6 Parenting, we have this, we created this really fun within the community. We created this chore chart for families. And basically what that means is there are four, we it's a real small kind of thing that we put on the refrigerator, and we're creating memories around it. But there are four things each month that we just ask families to say, hey, tell us about your journey. You know, it might be a date night with your spouse. It might, one of them, I think here in the month of March, one of them is saying yes to your kids. Like, we say no to our kids a lot. What's one way you can say yes? Another one is doing an Easter activity. But another one for this particular month is basically it's choosing your spouse, but I'm going to say it as dying to yourself. We wrote a post, and I can put the post in the show notes, but the post is how I'm dying in my marriage and why that's a good thing. And the idea there is,
I always laugh at that title. It sounds so bad.
Well, but how I'm dying in my marriage. Well, and that's one of those plays, one of those title plays, you know, that people click on. I'm dying in my marriage. Oh my gosh, you know, he's dying and that's a good thing. Well, and the whole point was, I'm dying to myself.
Is that what they,
that's what they call clickbait. But I don't do that in a way that is manipulative. This is one of those that's not manipulative. This is one of those that I'm dying in my marriage in order to be raised, in order for our marriage to be raised and resurrected.
It's true.
And the idea of that is, I'm choosing to die to myself. Mm-hmm. I'm choosing to forfeit maybe the last word in an argument with my wife, Christy, sitting right across from me. I'm choosing to, she's like, when did the last time you actually did that?
Yeah, I'm just thinking. Interesting.
But we're choosing in, we're
so
choosing.
You're saying you've chosen to do that, or you will choose, or it's like a continual dying process. Like maybe tomorrow I'll die.
Or I forfeit my right to be right.
You don't do that often, but maybe I don't do that very
How
often.
Can we resurrect our marriage? But I'm talking about this in relation to couple time and marriage time as well. How can we resurrect our marriages? How can we bring the resurrection of Jesus and the character and the fruit of Jesus to our marriages as well? And one of those ways is to choose our spouse, to forfeit maybe the last word, or to forfeit being right, or choosing something they love over something you would rather do. Those types of things. And so we really want to encourage you to do that too. Use that as an opportunity to bring life into your marriage, because ultimately, though it might not be directly teaching your kids about Easter, what it's doing is it's indirectly teaching your kids about Easter, because they begin to see the change in your marriage, and that has a huge ripple effect into how they view relationships. So, yeah. So let me recap. Can I recap for
us? I had nothing. That was great.
I'm going to recap.
Good.
Okay. The resurrection of Jesus is the single greatest event in all of human history. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Concretely, how is the fruit of your faith being
Can
shown
I just
to your
say
kids?
Something? Can I just say something? Because I lived there for like 35, whatever.
Where'd you live for 35 years?
At a place where that didn't bring me to tears. What you just said.
What I just said about the resurrection of Jesus being the single greatest event in human history?
Yeah. It changed everything. And I think if we don't get emotional about it, and you probably don't get as emotional as me, because I get
That's probably very true.
Most people don't, but if there isn't emotion and gratitude that swell up within us.
Pray for it.
Just have an awareness. Yeah. Just there's an awareness there. There's just something that's not totally connected. You may have accepted Christ and followed Christ for most of your life, or maybe you haven't. Maybe this is today's the day. Maybe you're relatively new, or you're exploring it. But there's a disconnect. Like we need to go back a couple steps. I think that's what I realized for me. I needed to go back a few steps to figure out where is this. I know this to be true. I follow the living God of the universe. And why did the single greatest act of sacrifice and selflessness, why does that not bring me to my knees? Like, why am I not grateful? Not grateful. Why am I not, like, oozing every day with gratitude over, because I think I'd never understood how much I needed saving. How much it wasn't a once and done, like it is a continual everyday
sanctification.
And so what I just say to you, just be aware of that. If that feels like words to you, just press in. The Lord will meet you where you are, and oh, Jesus is so much greater than that.
Live it out. Get some resurrection eggs. Butterflies.
Get some butterflies.
Yeah. Bring some butterfly to your life.
I hope they're really colorful. If they're like the brown and orange ones, are they brown and orange?
I don't know.
Oh, that'd be so disappointing.
We're going to find out though. Even, hey, it doesn't matter. God created them.
I just don't
even
love
the brown
fall
and orange
colors.
Ones, God created them. They're beautiful.
Orange is not my.
They're amazing.
Anyway.
And then apply this to your marriage as well, and find something to die from in your individual life. As Christy was talking about, you know, during this time leading up to Easter. So even if it's for the last 2 weeks or whatever it is leading up here. So guys, it is an honor journeying with you. I am delighted to journey with you. I don't know what Christy is, but I'm delighted to do it. What's your feeling?
I feel all the feelings most of the time.
But that they're journeying with us.
Oh, I like you. That's it.
I like you, and I'm delighted. So, listen, we are doing, if you've noticed in season 3, we're being much more topical. So please check out inthistogetherpodcast.com. ask us a few questions.
Oh, and also,
let us know.
Did you add topics? By the way, when you submit a question, because I know some of the questions can get really personal, but an option to hide. Okay, great.
Yep.
So you, just so you know, because we did our first Q&A episode, we requested permission from each person to make sure they are okay with us sharing their name. But just so you know, there's an option on there if you do not want your name used, which that would be in my camp. I would not want my name used.
Yeah. So I have a friend who.
I get that.
So if you want to remain anonymous, please let us know that you want to remain anonymous. Let us know your questions. Let us know your topics. And again, we absolutely love journeying with you.
We like you.
Check out InThisTogetherPodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button right there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us, and they help people learn about the podcast. And we would love, too, if you'd find us on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy, or our website, drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and enjoy the moment.